Welcome to this video cast from Whitley Bay Baptist Church. I'm Paul Newman and I'm the pastor here, and it's my delight to welcome you to this time of worship. Part of our time together this morning will be spent sharing in the communion, alone but together. When we get to that point, following the message, you will need a small quantity of bread and a glass or cup with some red juice or wine. Knowing that some of you will now be thinking, oops, I knew there was something I needed to remember, we're going to play a video of the words and music of the song Cornerstone. It takes about 4.5 minutes, so you have time to go and find those things. And we'll begin our worship proper after this song.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone. Strong in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high, in the stormy gale, my anchor holds within a veil. My anchor holds within a veil. Christ sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord.
Our theme today is the difficult call to forgiveness. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and then be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." The music group are now going to lead us in the song "Praise is Rising," after which Andrew Foster will lead us in prayer.
We long for you. Morning, everyone. Will you join me in prayer now? We're going to have an opportunity just to pause and be still for a moment. I'll then read a few verses from Psalm 24, and then I'll lead us in prayer. So if you're able now, please be quiet, be still, just pause. So as we enter prayer now, we pause to be still, to breathe slowly, and to recenter our scattered senses on the presence of God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Let's continue in prayer together. Eternal and gracious God, we have come before you in the name of Christ, setting aside time and space in our lives to reflect on your greatness, to rejoice in your goodness, and to respond to you with gladness. Receive once more our worship. We come in awe, in wonder, in reverence and humility. Receive once more our worship. We come with praise, with thanksgiving, with joy and celebration. Receive once more our worship. We come to share fellowship, to make our confession to you and to one another, to pray for ourselves, our world, and our loved ones, to offer our gifts and our service. Receive once more our worship. We come gladly, obediently, hungrily, confidently. Receive once more our worship. We come seeking your presence, your guidance, your strength and your mercy. Receive once more our worship. Loving God, we are here before you in the name of Christ. Receive our worship, receive our faith, receive ourselves, and help us to receive all you would give us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Andrew. Later, I'm going to be talking about the challenging subject of forgiveness. But first, let's hear Anna Wardle read for us one of the most touching of the stories of forgiveness to be found in the Gospels, the story of the woman about to be stoned by the righteous men. And after that, David and Miriam Lennox will lead us in our prayers of intercession, and then the Lord's Prayer.
A reading from John, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, from the Passion Translation. Jesus walked up the Mount of Olives near the city where he spent the night. Then, at dawn, Jesus appeared in the temple courts again, and soon all the people gathered around to listen to his words. So he sat down and taught them. Then, in the middle of his teaching, the religious scholars and the Pharisees broke through the crowd and brought a woman who had been caught in the act of committing adultery, and made her stand in the middle of everyone. They then said to Jesus, "Teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Doesn't Moses' law command us to stone to death a woman like this? Tell us, what do you say we should do with her?" They were only testing Jesus because they hoped to trap him with his own words and accuse him of breaking the laws of Moses. But Jesus didn't answer them. Instead, he simply bent down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Angry, they kept insisting that he answer their question. So Jesus stood up and looked at them and said, "Let's have the man who has never had a sinful desire throw the first stone at her." And then he bent over again and wrote some more words in the dust. Upon hearing that, her accusers slowly left the crowd one at a time, beginning with the oldest to the youngest with a convicted conscience, until finally Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there in front of him. So he stood back up and said to her, "Dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you?" Looking around, she replied, "I see no one, Lord." Jesus said, "Then I certainly don't condemn you either. Go, and from now on, be free from a life of sin."
Let us pray together. O God, our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for who you are, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, a mighty God who cares for each one of us.
And on this, our Father's Day, when we remember our fathers, we remember that you are our Heavenly Father. And we can call you Father because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And we thank you because Jesus was prepared to shed his blood for us. And we can come this morning to acknowledge that you are indeed a wonderful Father. You have created all things, and we thank you for your creation. We thank you for the blessings of each day. We thank you that you have redeemed us, and we know what it means to enjoy our salvation. But we come this morning mindful of the needs of others, for the world around us in which we live, for those at this time who are suffering, particularly those who are suffering because of the virus. And we rejoice in the news that there is some breakthrough. There has been that medical breakthrough, meaning that some people will be able to enjoy life again. We thank you for all those who are caring for those who are sick at this time. And we think of the nations of the world, the developing countries in particular, who are facing the threat of this virus at this time. And we're thankful that we will be able to supply the needs, the medicines that are required in order to help them get through this very difficult period. We think of a world which is still war-torn, and we ask for your peace in our midst. We thank you for our nation. We thank you for the lessons that we've learned through this virus, acknowledging the fact that in difficult times and in difficult situations, that you can take these situations and turn them to good. And we thank you for the good things that have come out of our present situation. We just acknowledge, Lord, your goodness and your mercy to us, even in times of difficulty. We think especially today for those who are anxious because of the racial tension that is occurring throughout the world. And we pray for peace in that situation. So, Lord, bless us at this time. Help us to acknowledge your goodness and your mercy to us in all things as we offer our prayer.
We bring before you the needs of the people in our congregation. In these uncertain and sometimes lonely times, our needs seem to be greater. But this is a time when we can lean on you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you never leave us or forsake us. We pray for all those who need a healing touch from you. Some we know about, others we don't. But we especially pray for Esther, back in hospital, having her second batch of chemotherapy. Please keep her safe from infection and nasty side effects. And comfort and strengthen Ian, Eleanor and Nathan during these difficult days. There are those mourning the loss of loved ones. Please put your loving arms around them so that in their loss, in the void that they feel, they may be filled with your love and your joy and peace. Loneliness is apparent with so many people at the moment. Please continue to walk with them and may they feel your presence. There are those who we know need direction, perhaps to do with work situations. So much uncertainty for so many people, our teachers, our medics, those on the front line, those managing staff in their companies. We need you to show us the way forward in our lives. Our desire is to be in the centre of your will, so please lead us in that direction. We thank you that Paul and Jill now have a home to go to in September. We pray that they will settle in quickly to their new environment and that you will continue to use them both and bless them as they minister to people in Amble and surrounding areas. We ask too for a special blessing on the Hall family as they prepare the move to Scotland. Colin and Beth already there, Alison and Ella to follow shortly. We also give you thanks for the safe arrival of Becca and Brian's new baby. We ask a blessing on all our children, that they will be happy and enjoy this time of flexible learning. Lord, you know our needs and our weaknesses, so I ask that you will richly bless each one of us as you lead us on, giving us opportunities to share you with other people around. We do praise you because we have that assurance that your mercies are new every morning and great is your faithfulness. Amen.
So we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us to say together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The other morning, Jill and I were reading the daily devotional that accompanies Celtic daily prayer when we were both stopped in our tracks by this story. The author told how a friend of hers used to travel a great deal for work, including in the United States. One morning, he was eating yet another solitary breakfast after another lonely night, and to make matters worse, his waitress was unusually surly. She spilled coffee on him, took his order with a sneer, and brought him the wrong food. He could have said a lot. He didn't. So he ate quickly, paid his bill, and was getting up to leave when he felt a strong prompting to leave her a $20 tip. And as he was getting into his car, the server came running out waving his money. Surely this was a mistake. "No," he said. "I could see you were having a bad day and I thought this might help." Then she began to weep. That very morning, her husband had walked out, leaving her alone with a small child to support on one small paycheck. With a few phone calls, that man was able to connect her with people he knew in the city who could walk with her through that difficult time. Forgiveness in action. Remember that prayer we recite together so often that Jesus gave the disciples as the model for all our praying? In Matthew 6, verse 9, it begins, "Our Father," and it ends, "Deliver us from the evil one." And right in the middle, between the two, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Or as Luke puts it, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." Forgiveness is at the heart of the good news of the revolution Jesus comes to bring. Yes, if you forgive others their failings, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failings either. That's Jesus. Jesus does not come to found a little community in his name that will grow and acquire power until it is able to conquer nations by the sword and force people to follow its way. Jesus comes not to make Christians, but to make human beings as God intended them to be from the very dawn of creation, living in peace and harmony for the blessing of the whole human community. That's a long way from where we are now. And it was a long way from the world in which Jesus lived and walked on the earth. But he came with a glorious message, that all brokenness could be healed and blessing restored. As Paul Etienne, a Christian leader in Seattle, has said, "The risen Jesus comes to us to restore divine life. He comes to restore us to a proper and profound relationship with God and with one another. Christ, in his humility, walked this earth that we might know God. Christ, in his obedience to the Father, took our sins to the cross to conquer sin once for all. The disfigured body of the crucified Christ was the means for restoring the beauty of our humanity. What happened on the cross was that Jesus won the ultimate victory, not over your sin and mine alone, but over all the powers of darkness. It was as if, carrying all the power of God into the place of the cross, the power of divine love, at the same time as bearing all human sin and grief and misery, he blew the circuits of the power of darkness. That power thought it had reduced Jesus to an object of disfigured ridicule, but had no idea who they were playing with, really. They thought that by killing a man, they could kill God, whereas in reality, they released the risen power of Christ to reign over all, King of glory. Christ the victor broke the chains of sin in which evil had wrapped all humanity. In one of his theological books, Eugene Peterson quotes several verses from the first letter of John. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Eugene Peterson makes this comment. In 1 John, sin is not a condemning label. It is not an accusation. It is a diagnosis, a revelatory insight into our condition, so we can know what to do and where to go to get in on a life of love. That which we cannot do for ourselves through education or government or business is done for us by God in Christ. It's not his intention that we should be constantly focused on our sin, but on his love. So that's the theology, but what of the practicality of living? Most simply, the truth is that what happens on the cross is that sin and the power behind it is crushed and eliminated in its long-term effect. We can be free. But how do we live in the light of that? Well, that's the difficult bit, isn't it? Jesus calls us to live a life of forgiveness. He turns an ancient rule of thumb on its head. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Sarah Berry has written, an eye for an eye seldom stops with an eye. It goes on to take an arm, a leg, a life. Evil has a way of rebounding, but goodness can stop it in its tracks, even transform it into something else entirely. Early on in Genesis, the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, bring offerings to God, who especially approves of Abel and what he has produced. But Cain does not congratulate his brother. He's not at all pleased. In fact, he's the first of many jealous brothers in the Bible. Cain is so filled with animosity that he murders Abel. Ever since, Human beings and their societies have not valued forgiveness nearly as much as vengeance and retribution. Culture has often adopted the rule of life, get your revenge in first. From the ancient Greeks to Shakespeare to EastEnders and Coronation Street, we play it out for our entertainment. Few of the stories in which conflict is resolved by forgiveness. Indeed, forgiveness is often viewed as a sign of weakness. But as Ken Wilson writes, forgiveness is a major theme in the Jesus path that leads us away from evil, including the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us. Forgiveness is Jesus Christ's repair mechanism for the world. It was far from an easy message to bring to the society in which he lived, but it was his social agenda for the people of Israel. They were oppressed by Roman occupiers, who were just the last in our whole sequence of occupiers and conquerors, and they took advantage of them as they did of all the nations over which they ruled. The people of Israel developed an array of strategies for overcoming the evil of this oppression. There was terrorism to violently overthrow the occupiers. There were those who lived in remote communities well away from the forces of occupation. There were those who cooperated with the occupiers for the advantage of their own cause. But Jesus offered a very different path of deliverance from the evil of the oppressor, through the practice of forgiveness. The trouble is that unless you yourself know what it is to be forgiven, it rankles that those who hurt you might get off scot-free, unjudged, and unpunished. When we are hurt and caused pain, when we are betrayed and lied to, when we are abused and treated as rubbish, when we're accused of holding the wrong beliefs and living the wrong way, we want justice, vengeance, retribution. There has to be payback time. And hanging from Calvary's cross, the ground below him awash with his blood, the Lord Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. He speaks not just to the Jews who planned his death, or the Romans who carried it out. He spoke to you and me in every act of petty betrayal and mean gossip and theft and carelessness and violence and abuse and casual racism and jealousy. All that might be described as your sin or my sin, our sin. Jesus says, I forgive you as I forgive all the others. As I hang here, witness the penalty paid for all your sin and for all theirs. Then live my way and forgive. Forgiveness has the power to break the vicious circle of sin and to establish a world where the power of revenge is broken, and where the blessing of grace flowing from the compassion of a loving God is everything. How could Jesus say to that woman of whom we read earlier, I certainly don't condemn you, go and from now on be free from a life of sin? He could say it on this occasion and many, many others because he knew it was his death that would make it possible. I think it's John Piper who says, if you hold a grudge, you doubt the judge. It's definitely the Apostle Paul who says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We are called to the difficult and glorious way of forgiveness. Amen. Now we're going to share in a remembrance of the Lord's love and mercy in communion. If you have bread and wine you like to just make sure that they're in reach of you now. And I invite you to join in the words that are going to appear on the screen that are printed in bold capital letters. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. Praise be to you, our Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. He lived and died for love of us, and after rising from the dead, yet more wonderfully met with his disciples. He walked with them, taught them, and shared supper with them. He ascended into heaven, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is with us now. Therefore, we join the saints and angels echoing your praise throughout the world and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Praise and thanks to you, Father in heaven, for on the night on which he was betrayed, your Son Jesus Christ took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Taking the cup of wine, he said, This is my blood shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. As we remember his death on the cross, his sacrifice made once for all to save us, we rejoice in his living presence. Send your Holy Spirit that the bread and wine that we now eat and drink may speak to us of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unite us with him and with all God's people in heaven and earth. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. I invite you to take the bread and eat, and take the cup and drink from it. Amen. We say together, Almighty God, from whose love nothing can part us. I thank you for this bread of life, my God. I am a traveller and stranger in the world, like so many of your people before me. I trust it is your voice I hear, the call of the Spirit. I offer you my yes to risky living in the way of forgiveness. The sea takes me. Where? I do not know, but I gladly go. The music group will now lead us in the song, Come, Let Us Worship the King of Kings.
Let us worship the King of Kings, the Creator of all things. Let your soul arise to Him. Come and bless the Lord our King. Fill this place with your glory. great I am. You are faithful in all of your ways, for you are God, and you're worthy to be praised. You are good, for your love will never end. The great I am. You are faithful in all of your ways.
When you no longer know how to be, may the Father take you on your deeper journey. When you no longer know what to do, may the Spirit reveal to you your fitting task. When all feels lost or foreign, may you know your home in Christ. On the path that is before you, may you have companions for the journey. May you find Christ in the stranger, and may you know the love and blessing of God. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.